This is BBC Radio 4. Now it's time to join Nicholas Parsons in the Radio Theatre Broadcasting House.
Welcome to Just a Minute. Hello, my name is Nicholas Parsons, and as the minute waltz fades away, once more it is my pleasure to welcome not only our loyal and faithful listeners throughout the world, but also our loyal and faithful performers of this game who have joined us this week to participate. We welcome back four of the outstanding players of the game, the delightful Paul Merton, the equally entertaining and spontaneous Tony Hawkes, and two different generation of comedy performers, a wonderful actor, performer, and comedy player, Peter Jones, and also a great humorous wit and raconteur, Clement Freud. Would you please welcome all four of them? And as usual, I am going to ask them to speak on the subject that I will give them, and they will try and do that without hesitation, repetition, or deviating from that subject. Beside me sits Jane Gibson, who is going to help me keep the score. She has a stopwatch here, which she will hold for me, and she will blow a whistle when the 60 seconds are up. And this particular edition of Just a Minute is coming from the BBC Radio Theatre in the Centre Broadcasting House, which is in the heart of our great capital city of London. Paul Merton, will you begin the show this week? The subject is The Secret Mission. Tell us something about that in just a minute, starting now.
Many years ago, I was given a secret mission by the British government. I had to make my way to Prague in Czechoslovakia, hide underneath a shoebox for several days, and make contact with a gentleman that I knew only as Donald. He approached me one late afternoon. The rain was streaming down the window. As I looked out, because I'd put a window in the shoebox, I don't care. I knew I was going to say window and shoebox. I was bored.
You were bored, you were right. But Tony Hawkes, you challenged first.
Repetition of window.
He was repeated the word window, and he was bored, so he threw in a repetition. And you have a correct challenge. You get a point for that, of course, Tony. You take over the subject, which is The Secret Mission. 35 seconds are available, starting now.
They have a lot of secret missions in Mission Impossible, and they always say, your mission, should you choose to accept. And they never refuse it. I want them to say,
Paul Merton challenge.
He refuses loads of them, but they wouldn't make very good television programmes. Man walks into a phone box, listens to a tape recorder, decides not to do the job. There's not an hour's worth of television in that. They only show you the ones that they do, because otherwise it'd be a waste of time.
Well, that's my minute gone. That was what I was going to bloody talk about.
I don't think that was strictly deviating within the rules of Just a Minute. Paul, I can't agree with the challenge, so Tony, you have another point, you carry on with the subject. 24 seconds available, starting now.
I have a secret mission tonight which I can't tell you about, because if I did, it wouldn't be a secret, and technically I would be deviating from the subject. And Lordy, that's the last thing I want to do. Instead,
Clement Freud challenged.
Tell us what the first thing you would want to do.
Well, it would be to...
Well, I don't think you need answer. I'd like to know what is your challenge within the rules of Just a Minute, Clement.
I just wanted to say good evening.
Well, you said it very nicely. You've got a nice reaction, but I'm afraid it was an incorrect challenge. So, Tony, more points to you, another one. Secret mission still with you, and 9 seconds available starting now.
David and I walked up the steps to MFI's offices. I don't know why.
Poor Merton's house.
Buying furniture, will you?
No, I think I must give the benefit of the doubt to Paul Merton here. Say, Paul, yes, a correct challenge. A point to you. 4 seconds. The secret mission starting now.
There's a man in the audience from Sweden whose secret mission is to rub out Nicholas Parsons.
Whoever is speaking when the whistle is blown gains an extra point for doing so on this occasion. It was Paul Merton, so at the end of that round, he has got 2 points. Peter, we've yet to hear from you, so why not take the next round? It's a charming one. Jabberwocky. 60 seconds starting now.
Yes, Lewis Carroll has always been anathema to me. I think he's a terribly boring writer. He was quite interested in punting, with young girls and telling them stories, very innocently, I'm sure. But they were so boring, I thought, when I was 7 and learning to read, that if this is what awaits me, then I don't really want to go on with it.
But, Paul Merton Challenge.
Hesitation.
I think there definitely was hesitation. Well, yes. 33 seconds available. Jabberwocky, starting now.
Jabberwocky, or as they say in Australia, wobber jockey, is a rider of a horse that you can't trust that's going to do the best job for the stable. This is... some people trust in every word I say.
Tony, you challenge first.
Well, he just broke into laughter, didn't he? Yes. You can't, and he repeated,
We interpret that as hesitation. Right, Tony, another point to you. 23 seconds, Jabberwocky, starting now.
Jabberwocky was the first film directed by Terry Gilliam.
Paul Merton Challenge.
No, it wasn't.
On Thursday the 26th of February, 1971.
And you were there, were you?
Well, that's what I was going to go on to say.
Funny, that was a Tuesday.
Deviation.
That was a correct challenge of deviation, so Paul, another point to you. 18 seconds, Jabberwocky, starting now.
I suppose whenever I hear the word Jabberwocky, I'm immediately taken back to those wonderful halcyon childhood days when me and Prince Philip used to travel down towards Cambridge, the dreaming spires of that beautiful city. The city where... So he goes,
Clement Roy Towers.
Reputation of city.
The city, yes. And Clement,
the city.
Clement, you've cleverly got him with 1 second to go. Point for a correct challenge. Jabberwocky starting now.
Twas pretty.
Well, Clement Freud was then speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point for doing so, and he is now in second place behind our joint leaders, Paul Merton and Tony Hawkes. And Clement Freud, it's your turn to begin. The subject is the West End. 60 seconds as usual, starting now.
I suppose every city and town, even villages and hamlets, have West Ends. I have personally been to the West End of Perth, Sydney, Melbourne and Adelaide, and leaving the Australian continent, the West End of England, London, especially Mayfair, which is known as the West End by those who dwell in the metropolis of England.
Tony Hawk's challenge.
Repetition of England.
Yes, that's right, yes. 34 seconds for you, Tony, on the West End, starting now.
We are making this recording in the wonderful Radio Theatre, not miles away from the centre of the West End in London. And after the show, no doubt, the five of us here will go out and drink into the night, as we do after every other occasion when we've done this. Some put pints away like nobody's business. Others decide that they want to go to Soho. I don't go along with that myself. I'd rather see a theatre or some such thing. It really is the entertainment capital of the world, if you like. New York could be a rival, but I don't think it touches the West End as we know it. I've been to the West End in Huddersfield.
So Tony Hawkes is excelling this week. More great style and panache. He went to the whistle when, gained that extra point for doing so, and has increased his lead at the end of the round. And Tony, your turn to begin. The subject is contortionist. Tell us something about that in this game, starting now.
Someone told me if you want to be a contortionist, it helps if you're double-jointed, because you can smoke both the joints, and then you don't feel any pain as you move your body into a different position. I'm able to put my left leg behind my right ear, but it is excruciatingly painful because amputation is involved. A contortionist is a gymnast or such like who moves parts of his magnificent physique into these extraordinary places. But you could be a wordsmith who twisted things like we do on Just a Minute. Many times we have to talk for 50 seconds, sometimes longer, a minute in my case, which is clearly what I'm going to do here, because no one...
Paul Merton Challenge.
No, he isn't.
So...
Deviation. He's deviated from contortionist and now talking about playing Just a Minute.
Exactly.
You don't need to be a contortionist.
About 0.1 of a second.
So, Paul, I agree with the challenge. 17 seconds with you. Contortionist starting now.
My next door neighbour is a contortionist and he likes nothing better than looking up old friends round about the Christmas holiday. Because when you are a contortionist, you can get yourself into all kinds of strange positions. In fact, that's what I meant the first time round, but nobody laughed, so I can't repeat it. But you're getting the idea if I go over the subject matter using different words.
Tony Hawk's the challenge. just as the whistle's about to go?
Well, he's talking about just a minute and how he's not allowed to repeat things within the game.
Exactly
what I did.
You've been hoisted on your own petard, Paul, so... Tony. Yes. Within the just a minute, and Tony Hawks has got the subject back. He's got a second to tell us more about contortionists starting now.
Lulu once...
So, Tony Hawks speaking as
repetition of Lou.
Too late now.
And, Tony, you were speaking as the whistle went. In that extra point, you won ahead of Paul Merton and two ahead of Peter Jones and four ahead of Clement Freud. That is the situation. We move into the next round, which is Paul Merton's turn to begin. Oh, Paul, what are you going to say about this, I wonder? The rudest person I ever met. Oh, they're giggling already. 60 seconds, starting now.
Well, people like me generally, so they aren't particularly rude to me. I suppose we do find rudeness. Some people say that cab drivers are...
Tony Hawk says.
Repetition of people.
Yes, I'm afraid there were more people. Ooh. Came in more than once. So, Tony, well, listen, you've got in with 52 seconds still. The rudest person I ever met, starting now.
The rudest person I ever met was Fidel Castro. We were at a party in Cuba, and I was having a marvellous evening, and I went...
Yes. Going into the Spanish pronunciation.
Yes. Deviation from the English as we understand it, and Paul, you've got in with 42 seconds on the rudest person I ever met, starting now.
Sometimes security people outside buildings.
Tony and Paul's charge.
Repetition of people again.
Well, listen, Tony, another point to you. Subject back with you, 38 seconds. The rudest person I ever met, starting now.
Lou Ditto, that fine singer, was extraordinarily rude to me after Top of the Pops, because I've been on that programme, actually, but we won't go into now because that would be deviating. But all I ask...
Peter Jones, a challenge.
Why did you bring it up?
27 seconds for you to tell us now something about the rudest person I ever met, starting now.
Well, I met Castro several times, and he was awfully nice to me, I must say, particularly at parties in Cuba, where they drank a lot of Bacardi rum and danced, and I joined in. And he was an extraordinary man in a way, because I don't know whether you know about him.
Tony Hawk's challenge.
So who was the rudest person you've ever met?
Fidel's brother. 9 seconds for you, Tony. Correct challenge. The rudest person I ever met, starting now.
I was on a pirate ship in the Atlantic Ocean, the Jolly Roger flag up on the mast, and the bosun called down to me, said, "Oi!"
Primer Freud challenge.
He's nowhere near the rudest person.
No, he was up there.
The bosun was about to call down. I was just setting the scene.
Clement, I agree with the challenger. 1 second delay available still. The rudest person I ever met, starting now.
Rude Gullet.
So Clement Freud, speaking as the whistle went, has moved forward. He's still training a little for once. Out in the lead is Tony Hawks and Peter Jones. It's your turn to begin. Feng Shui. Would you tell us something about that in this game, starting now?
That isn't even English.
No.
Why do they bring it to the worst linguist on the team? It doesn't seem reasonable to me.
Will you give it, as a Chinese linguist, give me the correct pronunciation?
Well, I can't pronounce it. I'm not a linguist, certainly not a Chinese one.
Does any Chinese linguist in the audience, please? We need some help here.
Feng Shui.
Feng Shui? All right, shall we go...
Feng Shui. Shame for nothing, start using language like that.
Peter, the subject Feng Shui or Feng Shui, or whichever way you want to take it, it's up to you, your pronunciation will be accepted. 60 seconds on this subject, starting now.
It sounds vaguely like 167 in the menu of the Chinese garden in Finchley Road. Now, I don't know whether it is or not, or whether it's a food or a musical instrument.
Or it's so Paul Merton has challenged you. He's helped you out.
Deviation, it's both. But it is food and a musical instrument.
Is
well,
it?
All kinds of possibilities.
No, it's hesitation.
But it was hesitation. And 45 seconds for you to tell us something about this subject, starting now.
Huang Shui is one of the tidiest of all the Chinese arts. Unlike Kung Fu, it's much neater. It doesn't involve people getting hit very hard. It's a belief that you have to put places like mirrors in a very secure part of the house where it reflects golden light and wealth.
Tony Hawk's a talent.
I put it to you that a mirror isn't a place. It's an object.
Are you actually listening to what I'm saying? You're not taking notes, are you? You're wasting your time.
You'll be surprised how many people take notes and write into me about it.
How many? Shall I tell you now, Nicholas? It's been me over all these years.
Yeah. But your letters were...
I did a bit funny writing at the bottom. Wing Hung Suck at the bottom. Yes. Peking High Street. Big fan of Nicholas Rarsons. I'll write that. No, it's me. It's me.
Tony, correct challenge. You have a point, and you have 25 seconds to tell us something about Feng Shui, Feng Shui, Feng Shui, whichever way you wish to take it. 25 seconds starting now.
Take a mirror and place it in a fantastic spot, and your life could change. Such is the Chinese art of Feng Shui, which tells you that placement is everything to get the energies in your house flowing correctly. If you have the wrong kind of energy, then you will attract bad luck, and heaven knows we don't want that.
Peter Jones, a challenge.
He sounded as though he said energy twice.
No, he said energies and energy.
You got that, didn't you?
I got that. One of the jobs I'm paid for is to listen, and if I don't, I get absolutely castigated by the other members of the team, you see.
I see. Yes.
And he did.
Castigated? Yes. It's a harsh punishment.
I know. So, I'm sorry, Peter, an incorrect challenge. 1 second available with you, Tony, starting now.
Many people have asked me where...
what happened then? Tony Hawks is obviously speaking of the whistle wind, and he's moved into a commanding lead at the end of that run. Paul, it's your turn to begin, and the subject here, this sounds a good one, what I keep under my mattress. Tell us something about it in just a minute, starting now.
I keep under my mattress at home a life-size blow-up model of Nicholas Parsons, complete with functioning organs. We have a Wednesday get-together with the neighbours where I get out the foot pump and we stand around this little bit of plastic lying on the living room floor, and I slowly, up and down with my foot, I press air into this enormously lifeless form, and suddenly you see a whiff of a sports jacket. You see, could it be that we are going to have amongst us now a replica of that great man who has entertained us now for what seems like a quarter of an hour in his wonderful career? And as the form is filled with oxygen, the surrounding guests, they gasp, they reach for Twiglets, drink sherry, and there is a fully functioning chairman of Just a Minute there in front of them. What do we do? Well, some people call it satanic, some people call it evil, but what we like to do is we get hold of this figurine.
So Paul Merton started with the subject and kept going for the full 60 seconds without being interrupted, so he gets a point for speaking when the whistle went. And Clement Freud, your turn to begin. The subject for this round is the final demand. Tell us something about that in just a minute, starting now.
The final demand tends to come in a brown envelope with a window, and you open it, and the letter that comes from this covering begins, Dear Sir, Unless. And the title is right, but the name is totally wrong. Thank you.
Peter Jones' challenge.
That was
the
all
final
I
demand is usually...
I haven't said that. What was the challenge?
Hesitation.
It was hesitation, and I agree with it.
I would have thought that was fairly obvious. Yeah.
Peter, I agree with the challenge. Yes. Hesitation, you have the subject, and you have 40 seconds starting now.
Well, the final demand is usually uttered by the Grim Reaper himself, who says, follow me. Now, when he says this to myself, then I shall probably decline the invitation, because I don't want to go into the next world, as he would no doubt have me do, because I don't believe it's going to be a great deal better than the one I'm living in now. So I shan't agree to the final demand, and he may easily get the sack, because he's obviously been put up to this by some higher authority, and I doubt if he would be able to survive disobedience of that kind on any scale at all. This is...
Actually, we accidentally let it run past the minute because...
You did?
Yes, I know.
Yeah, I buzzed.
Before the buzzer went.
No, I buzzed because it was running over the minute.
And Jane accidentally didn't pick up a whistle on time. And she let it go for 2 or 3 seconds over.
Ah.
And then when Clement challenged, you'd already... 60 seconds was up. You're not really bothered, are you? I mean, I know that this is pretty good.
We can get the law lords in on this.
And we're moving into the final round, for those who are interested in the points, the scoring. And it is Tony Hawkes. We're back with you, Tony. Will you take the final round, which is going to be liaisons? Tell us something about that in 60 seconds, starting now.
I very much enjoyed the play Les Liaisons Dangereuses, which was on in the West End of London for some time, and I suppose there are...
Paul Merton Chan.
Deviation is pronounced Feng Shui.
So, well done, Tony. I enjoyed the challenge. I didn't know what it meant. And, Tony, an incorrect challenge, Liaisons Dangereuses... quand j'entablis les surfers en y pleuvoir, on comprenait maintenant en 53 minutes secondes, et commençons maintenant. Ok,
répétition.
Of a pause. All right, Paul, you have the subject. You have 48 seconds. Liaisons starting now.
What's the subject? Liaisons. Oh, well, I remember.
Tell your challenge.
Il ne parle pas le français, hein? Et il faut continuer en français, hein? Qu'est-ce que tu vois?
So, we're
going to... It's wasted on me. I did metalwork. I don't know what you're talking about. Wasted on me. It's true.
So, if you want to continue in French, you have 46 seconds, Tony. Liaisons.
Why has he got it?
I don't know. I just thought it was good fun. The whole thing's gone to pieces. He wanted to go
on. He buzzes, talks in some gibberish made up language.
No, it wasn't actually. It made sense.
What did he say then?
He said, you've got to speak in French. This is the idea. I speak in English now, so it's all gone to pot.
I think it's English.
Yes.
You've given him the subject because I wasn't speaking in French.
Yeah, exactly. I've got to carry on in French, otherwise I'm out. It's like a party game.
It's a party game.
It's repetition, deviation, hesitation, and not speaking in French.
What?
You can speak in metalwork.
You can speak in metalwork, right, all right. This French-speaking rule, I've missed it over the last 2 years.
46 seconds for you to do metalwork French, starting now.
J'étais avec...
No, him!
I thought I won that challenge.
No.
I want the law lords and I want them here now. And I want all their interests declared as
well. Paul has a chance to show off his metalwork as he takes the subject. And you have 40...
Is he going to take his teeth out?
No, that's bridge work.
This is descending into anarchy.
No.
If you're Chinese, don't write in. It's not...
I love to finish a show on a little bit of anarchy because the audience enjoy it. And it's metalwork, or liaisons.
I don't know the French for metalwork.
No, it's not you. He's going to do metalwork. You're doing French.
Well,
they all have to take it their own way. This is the new concept for this particular round of Paul Merton, metalwork version of liaisons, starting now.
I remember that film. It was very good. Two blacksmiths meet across the room and they've got little fans and they don't know which one's in charge of the pig iron or not. And one of them's making a little trowel in the foundry and the other person is there and they're wondering whether they're going to fall for this dark, elegant man with huge muscles who's making horseshoes every day. You see, that's metalwork. They taught me that subject at school.
Clement Freud challenge.
Repetition of metalwork.
Yes, that's metalwork. It's not on the card. It's liaison.
But I thought that was the subject, metalwork.
No, it's liaison.
I had to repeat the subject.
You had to
told me the subject was metalwork.
No, metalwork speak you had to give us on the subject of liaisons.
Well, what does that mean?
It means whatever you want. That's the joy of this round.
Oh, right, okay.
Right?
Just out of a matter of interest, what is the French for metalwork?
Le
work. Oh, okay.
No, le solide œuvre.
Ah, okay.
That's egg, isn't it?
Le œuf.
Oh,
I just need to know in case...
Anybody else want to get in the French lesson? Cameron Croyd, do you
I didn't know you did French lessons. I've seen your card in the window.
Right, Clement Freud, 23 seconds, liaisons. And you have to take it in your own individual way. We've had French, we've had metalwork, and we've got to be original and distinctive as you go on the subject of liaisons starting now.
A liaison is no more than a relationship between one, two, three, even four, possibly five, maybe six people.
Paul Merton challenged.
Well, he's not talking about metalwork, deviation.
Metalwork's not the subject, liaisons is. You did a metalwork version, and the audience loved it. We all loved it. You got bonus
repetition
points.
Repetition of maybe.
No, he didn't say maybe. No, no, he didn't.
Hesitation.
Well, the fact he wasn't speaking in French. Right, 13 seconds. Still with you, Clement, starting now.
Man kann natürlich auf Deutsch dieses Wort über sprechen, wenn man will, und die Sprache sprechen kann.
Tony Hawks of China.
Repetition of Sprecken.
I think the final score is settled, and Peter, we haven't heard from you on this round, and it's gone sort of rather bizarre and rather anarchic, and I'd like to hear your version for the last 4 seconds on liaisons, and you have to take it in a different direction, a different language, a different concept. And you have 4 seconds in which to achieve that, if you possibly can, starting now.
Well, I'd enjoy telling you about one or two liaisons that I've had in the past.
So Peter Jones decided to take it in an utterly English way, as becomes his personality. How delightful, Peter.
But he was on a unicycle, as he was saying it.
I know, which is, doesn't come over very well on radio. Let me give you the final score, because I'm sure you're just panting to know what it is, aren't you? You can't wait to hear, can you, this audience out here? Gosh, they're so hot, they can't wait to go home. Right. For once, Clement Freud finished in fourth place. He was a few points behind Peter Jones, who finished in a very strong third place, 1 point behind Paul Merton. But out in the lead, a few points ahead, was Tony Hawk. So we say, Tony, you are our winner this week. We do hope you've enjoyed this particular edition of Just a Minute. I would say bonsoir, bonnie, and in Chinese, and all the other languages, and thank our four intrepid, delightful, and amazing exponents of this game, Paul Merton, Tony Hawks, Clement Freud, and Peter Jones. Also thank Jane Gibson, who has blown her whistle so magnificently as well, helped me with the score on the stopwatch. We thank Yamissa for creating the game and make sure that we all have such fun when we come to the radio theatre here, and our producer, Chris Neal, who produced and directs it. From all of them, from me, Nicholas Parsons, thank you for tuning in. Thank our lovely audience here in the radio theatre. Tune in the next time we take to the air and play Just a Minute to Them from all of us here. Goodbye, goodbye.
At the same time next week, Just a Minute, we'll be coming from the Lyceum Theatre in Sheffield.